when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
We used to actually see education costing us money rather than how much it's going to save us in time or mistakes and things like that. Now it's different. We see education as, you know, how much it's actually going to make us in the future.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we're speaking with Tak Lee and Hoping Low, directors of 10 Circle Property and Our Kids Luggage, to discover the influences that they got them started in the property game, the rookie mistakes they made along the way, and more importantly, how they turned it all around and landed 19 properties in their portfolio. Talking to husband and wife, Tak discusses a little bit about the interesting journey.
We sort of started, well, when did we start? Probably back in, I think we bought our first property back in 06. So, and since then we've sort of like accumulated. At a stage, I think we've got up to 19 properties. And then, it's a very interesting journey that we've had. So we've always done things ourselves and, we got ourselves in a bit of a trouble along the way and there was a couple of things that we had to do to turn things around, which we did.
Juggling work, family and life in general, Tak Lee describes what he does on a daily basis.
I do a lot of strategic thinking, so how we can grow our business, how we can basically become faster, stronger, more efficient. I also do a lot of mind feed and a lot of networking and forming relationships. And after that, well, I go and pick up the kids from school, take them swimming. You know, as I always say, family is always first. And if you're not succeeding at home, you're not succeeding in life.
Hoping also adds what her everyday routine looks like.
For me, generally, I get the kids ready in the morning, take them to childcare and school. Then I'll go for an exercise class. You know, when I come back from exercise, I feel energized and then I'm ready to start the day.
Coming from different areas before moving to Australia, they both talk about where they grew up.
I'm originally from Malaysia, a town called Ipoh. So my family migrated to Australia about 30 years ago now. And been growing up in a suburb called North Bowen in Melbourne.
Oh, fantastic. And what about for you, Hoping?
Yeah, for me, I'm also from Malaysia, but I grew up in a small town in Borneo, so the east part of Malaysia. And I was pretty lucky to be able to have the opportunity to further my studies here in Melbourne, and I have been here since then.
Yeah, she met me and now she's stuck.
Thinking back to their schooling days, Lee tells us where he studied.
For my primary, I sort of did half-half. So actually, that's sort of giving away my age. So I went to Dean Primary in Kew. And then after that in high school, I went to Bowen High for 2 years and spent the last 4 years of my high school in Melbourne Grammar. And after that, did a Bachelor of Geomatics Engineering at Melbourne Uni.
Similar to him, Lo tells us where she studied as well as both in high school and university.
Well, I studied in Malaysia, and then I had 2 years in Melbourne, McRobb High School, and then I studied physiotherapy at Melbourne Uni.
Having studied in completely unrelated fields, Lee takes a moment to explain how he and Lo met.
We met at uni, so through mutual friends. So it's as you said, completely different field. But I guess, you know, like they say, opposites attract. So I represent Melbourne Uni in Babington. So, and it's just so that Hoping's brother was a teammate. But that's how it all began.
That's great. Oh, I love it. I'm really enjoying this story.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see at the start I wasn't too keen, you know. I was visiting him a lot. Not really for him, but yeah.
Working in the building and infrastructure sector while at university, Lee shares that his property investing journey didn't actually start straight away.
I had a couple of jobs when I was at uni as well, just in a couple of final years. And so I worked in like door-to-door sales. I was a waiter. I was a delivery guy. And then, yeah, after I graduated, I worked, as a consultant, basically on the engineering side. And, yeah, worked across major transport infrastructure projects around Victoria.
Low, on the other hand, had a smaller number of various professions.
I've only been a physio. I studied as a physio.
Given that both only Leigh decided to get into property, Lee shares whether or not his parents influenced him to get into the investing world.
In terms, like for me, on the property side, it wasn't something that came to mind. I mean, my dad was in business, and then I've got an older brother. He's sort of always traveling, like an expat. So in my family upbringing, we're quite open. So, and in terms of, property, it wasn't something that came to mind. And I actually have to thank Ho Ping for bringing the property side of things into my life.
While this was the case for Lee, Lo explains that investing was something she always heard about when growing up.
When I was a kid, I always remember hearing my parents talking about investing. So my parents work very hard and they work long hours, like 6 to 7 days a week. And they always tell us that, you know, when you work, you need to make sure you save. And from the money that you save, then you can start investing. So my parents explained to me that, you know, share are very volatile. You know, you can earn a Toyota one day and then the next day you can lose a Mercedes-Benz. Like, okay, interesting. And then they also mentioned that you can also invest in property. You need to make sure that, you are in there for the long game. So you buy and hold and the property will eventually rise in value.
Very wise, very wise. And it seems to ring true. Hmm.
It is definitely true. I guess I've always been a little bit more risky in the terms of what I do because I actually go into shares way before I go into property.
Where Lo's childhood led her to realise the importance of property over other investment vehicles, Lee shares that the opposite was the case for him.
On the share side, my dad and my brother, they do a bit of trading. So I guess that's how I picked it up. And yeah, I was doing a bit of that, you know, when I was in uni and when I graduated. So yeah, did pretty good in that. And I guess for me, when I met Ho Ping and then she started talking about the property side and how it's more solid, more, you know, you can actually see it and you can control it as opposed to shares where you can only control it to a certain extent. And, yeah, that's probably my tipping point with regards to when I sort of changed from trading in shares to property.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve into Tak Lee and Hoping Low's journey to find out how exactly they got started in property.
I saw so many people who have worked so hard all their lives. You know, they saved their money for their retirement and then only to realize that a few months into their retirement, something drastic happens to their health. And that really put things into perspective for me. So since then, I was very motivated to invest as much as I can early on to set myself up for the future.
The interesting story behind the where and why of their first property purchase.
It was in Templestowe Lower.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I actually bought one with my brother and Hoping bought one herself.
And that's next. I'm Tyron Shum and you're listening to Property Invest Story. Mm-hmm. Talking more about the beginning of their property journey, Lee and Lo take us back to the moment it all started.
Yeah, as I said, we 06 when we first bought our first property, and it was hoping that sort of said, you know, we should get into property. So, and then we started looking, and yeah, she can probably fill you in a little bit better on that.
Yeah. Okay. So, how it happened for me, you know, like I mentioned before, I studied physiotherapy. So my first job was working as a physiotherapist in the hospital. And, you know, we get to do a few rotations in a year. And like within the first few months of being in my job, very quickly I realized that, you know, being in a job isn't the ultimate plan for me. You know, I saw so many people who have worked so hard all their lives. You know, they save their money for their retirement. And then only to realize that a few months into their retirement, something drastic happens to their health. And that really put things into perspective for me. So since then, I was very motivated to invest as much as I can early on to set myself up for the future.
Yeah, and she brought me along along the journey. So, and I have to really thank you for, thank Hope Inc for that.
Fortunately, for realizing this early on in life, Lee talks about the first property purchases they made back in 2006, the journey starting with a springing twist.
It was in Templestowe Lower.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I actually bought one with my brother, and Hope Inc bought one herself.
Having purchased the property separately, Lee and Lo expanded on the story behind that first investment.
Yeah, it was a
Same development.
There's 11 townhouses in total. And at that time, we could only afford in buying in Lower Templestowe.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we actually had a look at other properties in like better suburbs, but then we just couldn't stretch ourselves that much.
Buying within the same development, Lee shares how they approached the purchase.
Yeah, it was not the plan. And I guess the way that we approached it is, okay, we're going to buy two from the developer. So we sort of negotiated on that and, yeah, got them to throw a few things in that wasn't in the plan.
Having started with those two separate properties and eventually building the portfolio to a staggering 19 properties, Lee takes a moment to share with us one of the harder investing moments they faced.
I guess we've got a few, but if we had to pick one, I'll say the worst would be not fully understanding how like off the plan purchases worked, because we did buy a lot off the plan from the start. And all we knew about investing back then was basically off the plan purchases. And when we asked our accountant, you know, what to do, and yeah, that was what he told us. And unfortunately, we took his word literally and never thought about educating ourselves before we started, you know, going on this property journey. And I guess for us, that was a big no-no. So, yeah, as in terms of the worst investing moment, I'll say probably 8 years ago when we were in our accumulation phase. You know, our plan was to buy as much as we could back then. And, you know, our thinking was like, all right, it was great. You know, we only need to put down 10%. We have a couple of years to settle, right, the growth. And then, you know, when we settle, we can refinance. But we didn't really have any exit strategy. And yeah, I mean, to make the long story short, we needed to settle, I think it was 7 properties in about a 12-month period. So yeah, I think there was a townhouse, and the rest was probably apartments. And I think it was about, would have been probably about $3 million worth of property that we had to settle.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I mean, we were doing okay, but it was like a brick in the head. So we already had a few properties with mortgages. So it was a real juggling act to manage sort of like what we already had, plus this 7 new ones that was going to come on board. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and also keeping in mind that our portfolio back then was all negatively geared.
Yep.
So that hurt as well.
Building on this last point, both explain how they sustain a negatively geared portfolio.
It has always been negative from day one.
Yeah.
And so it actually slowly accumulated to about almost negative 100K a year.
Yeah, I think it got up to, at a certain point, it was about 110 negative.
That's so we were back to it.
Yeah.
And when the kids came, that is really when we started to feel the squeeze.
With $110,000 worth of needed gearing to make up for, Lee and Lo explained how exactly they managed to juggle it all.
We worked a lot off, I think.
So, well, I guess for me, the more properties that we accumulated, the more jobs I had to work. So I ended up having like 5 jobs at one stage.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I started back into trading in a bit of shares.
Yep.
I was lucky in the way that worked out for me. And we were also importing some stuff from overseas and selling it on eBay back then, just to try to make that extra cash.
It was only after having kids that they realized they needed to get out of this situation.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we had, how would you say, it was a real wake-up call.
Yeah, and I mean, when you are faced with such a big problem, that is when we decided, oh no, we had to do something. What we're doing now isn't really working anymore. So we had to go out and actually educate ourselves. Yeah, because I mean, what we've been doing, you know, as they say, a fool learns from their own mistakes, whereas an expert, a wise man learns from other people's mistakes. So we've decided to, you know, get ourselves educated. And we used to actually see education costing us money rather than how much it's going to save us in time or mistakes and things like that. Yeah, so now it's different. We see education as, you know, how much it's actually going to make us in the future.
Looking on the flip side, Lee takes on another part of their journey, this time talking about the investment moment that really cemented the positive benefits that property could bring.
There's 2 big aha moments for us. The first one was when we got into all the off the plan purchases and we had a lot of townhouses and apartments. The first was, you know, we need to buy more land at property to control land so we can manufacture growth. So from then on, we started buying land at properties so we could manufacture growth through either renovations or development. And yeah, we did well with the renos. I mean, we'll try to get a longer settlement, you know, negotiate for access prior to the settlement, and we'll do auto reno. And when it's time to settle, we'll refinance with the bank. And we sort of got like a 1-3 return on those. And yeah, we did really well. So that was one aha moment where we stopped buying off the plan properties. And the second one will be, I'll say, passive income. So cash flow and not just capital growth. And this is when sort of the period where we started getting education and coaching. And yeah, I mean, we come to the realization that the best investment is to, as you said, Tara, is to invest in yourself.
Expanding on the changes they made to turn their portfolio around, Lee explains how they ended up starting a business in property and the steps they took to get to their current position.
Back then, we never really looked at property investing as a business. You know, initially, well, when we're doing things ourselves, we took the properties we bought as just investments and that's it. And the very first thing that we did when we got the education and the coaching is to do a portfolio analysis and calculate the opportunity costs. And what we did was to treat each of our properties that we had like staff, you know, to do a performance review on each and every one of them. And those that are not performing, we basically got rid of them. And those that might not be costing you money, but might be costing you opportunity, you know, opportunities elsewhere, we sort of kept for a little while to see what we could do with them. And yeah, I mean, the best thing sometimes, I guess, when we got down to it is to cut your losses and start rather than holding on. Sometimes it's just better to do that.
They also talk about how long this process took for them.
Well, I mean, because we did everything ourselves at the start. So, you know, bought things in our own name, cross-collateralized, and every mistake that investors shouldn't make, we made all of them.
It took a little
bit of time. So I would say about 18 months to 2 years.
Having learned so much, Lo sums up everything they did to change their portfolio. This process, despite taking 2 years, changed their investing lives for the better.
So like Tech mentioned, like those that weren't doing anything, we sold off. So we were catched up to be able to look into other properties. So At the start, we only looked at, you know, capital growth in the properties, but in fact, you actually need capital growth and cash flow to continually grow the portfolio. So what we actually did to better position ourselves is to get some cash flow coming into our portfolio. So we turned some of our apartments into short-term rental, and some apartments with two car parks, we leased the other one out separately. Then we also looked into, we bought into a commercial property to give you a bit more cash flow as well. And really continue to invest in coaching and education.
So inspired by Tak Lee and Hoping Low's journey and their amazing aha moment, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode of Property Investory. We'll discuss their current strategy.
So the next thing that we're looking at is mainly cash flow. So we're looking more into the commercial space.
The personal habits which have been contributing to their success.
I guess I am quite a risk taker, but then if you take out risk, you take out opportunities. So I'm from what has made, what I believe has made me successful and or us successful is that we do take risk. And from that, yeah.
Calculated risk.
And that's given it the opportunities that we have now.
And that's next time in a future episode of Property Investory. To jumpstart your week, I'm introducing a new segment called Mindset Monday, where our real success in property isn't knowledge and skill, it's 70% psychology and mindset. Every week on Monday after the episode, I'll be sharing a short mindset tip from wealth coach Jill McIntyre. So let's get started. So Jill, for the majority of your clients when starting out with you, what would be the biggest stopper for most of them around wanting to grow in property?
That's a good question, Tyron. And the biggest stopper for most of my clients would be, I haven't got the money. And if you're in that thinking, you will never move forward with property. I'm a great one for leveraging the strengths and the worth of other people. And there's so many ways when I came into property, I certainly didn't have any money. And even today, I leverage my strengths and don't put money in many of my deals. So this is where if money is a stopper for you, start to think about how you could reverse that. And there's many, many ways you can bring in joint venture partners. And instantly, if you're in a negative thinking, your mind will be coming up and saying, but how do I know I can trust that person? So I will be giving you tips and hints and things like that as we move forward with these Mindset Mondays that will help you along the way on how to choose the right person. So lack of money, you can do a joint venture with the existing owner. You can. There's many, many ways of which you can do it, and all is a step-by-step stage where you are building in confidence to do it. The second stopper, Tyrone, would be I don't have enough know-how. And so what so many people go and do is do another property course and another property course. Mm. And if you could add up over the years how much money you've spent in property courses or something related, it would be enormous. We need to stop spending more money on know-how and pull our sleeves up and actually go to open houses, start to be focusing on an area, start to have a plan of attack in mind and to move forward. And this I can't stress enough because everything is theory that you are reading or listening to in those events that you attend. Everything that you do when you actually make a deal is actually action. Would you agree with me there, Tyron?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's the same for myself.
Well, we all do it when we don't have confidence. You know, we pull back and we hesitate. The third thing that's a stopper is I don't have the time. If you really want to succeed in property and you see that it's a vehicle for your success to move forward, start to light the fire in your belly. Start to work on, I can do this. It doesn't all happen in 5 minutes, but little by little by little, if you make inroads and you get the right team and support around you, it'll happen all right and you'll find time that you never thought you had because it excites you to move forward. But the biggest of all of these stoppers is money. So if you've got it listening to this and it's a lack of money, it's time that you might want to do something about it, because there is a number of ways that we can move forward. Why? Because I've done it. So thanks.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.